Amen. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. And I enjoyed all of the singing. And I think that's one of the most important things we can teach our children, is that Jesus loves them. And we know that to be the truth because the Bible tells us so. I like the song the choir sang a moment ago, and I may not get the title of it right. But I love the Lord because of what He's done for me. Was that something like it goes? And that's what the psalmist said in the long ago. I love the Lord because He hath heard my prayer and my supplication. And that's why I love Him tonight. I didn't love Him until He heard me and saved me and put His love in my heart, but I've loved Him ever since. Thankful to be back to Victory tonight and glad to see each one that's come to be with us. Appreciate your presence so very much. I know Brother Binion and all the church appreciates all the visitors who are here. Brother Miller and Sister Miller are with us again tonight. We're glad to see them and appreciate them coming down and being with us. I noticed Brother Binion's dad and mom are in the audience tonight also. We're glad to see you all. And thankful to be in service with you again. I trust that you've prayed since we met here last night, and that you've come expecting the Lord to bless and to save. We all know that without faith it's impossible to please God. And I think that it's important that when we go to the house of the Lord that we have expectation. We expect the Lord to be there and expect the Lord to hear us when we pray and expect Him to help the preacher and expect Him to make the word effective and bring conviction. All these things are important, and faith is required if we have that expectation. So you pray for me tonight as I endeavor to speak once again. I want to read a passage of scripture that's very familiar in the 16th chapter of the gospel as recorded by Luke, beginning at verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels unto Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from thence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now that's my lesson for tonight. I read from the 19th verse through the remaining verses of this 16th chapter of the book of Luke. And again tonight it's my prayer that God will bless the reading of His Word. I want to speak to you tonight for just a short time. And I want to ask this question, and I want to direct it, of course, to those who are not saved. And the question is, after life, what then? After life, what then? There are many places, I suppose, that a person could start with a subject like this. Life is a gift of God. The Bible says that God giveth to all life and breath and all things. And there are none of us tonight who would not have to say that God is good. God has been good to us, and I suppose for the most part, all of us have had a very good life. We enjoy life. We enjoy health. And we enjoy all the material things that God has given unto us. But we know that someday, somewhere, sometime, life is on this earth is going to end. I quoted the other night where the Bible says that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after death, the judgment. The Scriptures also say that the living know that they shall die. I don't suppose I have to try to convince anyone here tonight that someday you're going to die. And I suppose all of us make plans to live and to enjoy life, and it's right to do that. But it is more important to make plans for the hereafter, after we have died, because life does not end at physical death. There is life after death, and there is death after life, because the Bible tells us that those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. So all the living are going to die. Those who have not been born again are going to die the second death also. And so it's important to get right with God and to be ready for the hereafter. Now I want you to think with me for just a little while. This account that I read tonight from the Word of God, I believe it is a true account of two men who lived on this earth. One of them was a rather rich man, and the other was a very poor man. But you see, the both of them met the same end. They both died. And all of us are going to die. Now, only the Lord knows what's beyond the grave for mankind. I've never been on the other side of the grave. I will stand someday on the other side. I will be, even as Paul said, I'll look back someday at the grave and I'll say, O death, where is thy sting? And O grave, where is thy victory? Because just like Jesus rose from the dead, I'm going to rise from the dead also. And in fact, everyone's going to rise from the dead. The Bible says that the hour is coming when all that are in the graves are going to hear the voice of the Son of God and shall come forth. Some to everlasting shame and contempt, and some
to life eternal. So Jesus tells us what's waiting on the other side of the grave. He shows us that in this lesson that I read here tonight. Now, Jesus knows because he has lived, my friend, in the spirit world. Now, I've never been into the spirit world, but Jesus came from that world to this world. And he lived as a man, and he died on the cross, and then he rose from the dead, and he ascended back into that spirit world. And he knows what's on the other side. And so we can believe this lesson that I have read tonight, and I hope that you do. And I am persuaded that you do. So as we think about this subject tonight, Jesus is too wise to make a mistake. Do you know it? And he is too honest to deceive anybody. He will not deceive you tonight. Jesus is the truth. He not only is the way to heaven, but he is the truth. He is the embodiment of truth. And he would never, ever deceive anyone about the salvation of their soul. And so tonight you think about this. This certain man that the Bible tells us about was a rich man, and the Bible says that he died and was buried. This beggar man, the Bible said that he died. Doesn't say whether he was buried or not, but it does say that he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Now, I picture, and this is my picture of this, and you may not picture it in the same way. But you remember reading in the Bible about the beloved disciple John reclining on the breast of the Lord Jesus? And I can picture heaven or paradise as a place of where the saints of God rest from their labors. They recline in the presence of the Lord Jesus. Sometimes we talk about people being in the arms of Jesus. Well, I think that's what happened to Lazarus when he died. He was carried by the angels into paradise. And he is there reclining. Abraham's bosom, I think, is a symbolic term that represents the rest that awaits the people of God. And there is a rest, the Bible says, that remaineth for us. And someday, in fact, John said, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. There are a lot of your friends and loved ones, your parents perhaps, brothers and sisters, who today they are resting from their labors with the Lord, but their works are still being spoken about. And they are following them, and even people's lives are being influenced by the life that they lived before their life ended. And so there is a rest for the people of God. And Lazarus was carried to that place of rest when he died. The rich man, although his body was buried, yet the Bible says that in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. We know from this, my friend, that his soul went to hell when he died. His body was placed in the grave, but his soul went to hell. And I'm going to say that life for every person will continue in either one of those two places when physical death has come to you. Now, when the beggar man died, I suppose people said, poor old thing, you know, I've been expecting that for a long time. He's been full of sores, and he's better off now. They may have even said that we're all better off now that he's gone. Because perhaps they thought that there are too many beggars as it is. There are too many people that are in the shape that he was in. And I suppose it was an embarrassment to society in some respect for the beggars to sit by the wayside and beg. At least it was a nuisance. It was annoying to them as they would beg for coins and for whatever they could get to sustain them. I also suppose when the rich man died, people probably talked about what a tragedy that is. What a loss the community has suffered. This man with all of this wealth and all of the good that he maybe could have done with his wealth. In spite of his wealth, he died. I suppose they grieved perhaps over the passing of the rich man. Oh, but there was a tremendous amount of difference in the destination of these two men. The rich man lifted his eyes in torment. And the poor beggar, he was reclining and resting in Abraham's bosom. And so tonight, as we think about this subject, this old beggar man, he was carried by the angels. I'm glad tonight that God has made arrangements for his children to be transported safely to the place that he has prepared for them. Jesus said that he was going to prepare a place for us. And if he went and prepared the place, he would come again. And he would receive us unto himself that we might be with him where he is. And so I'm looking forward to the day when I am able to see the Lord Jesus, look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And so there's a song. I'm going to sit down and rest a little while. And I've always said that song appeals to me. I have never gotten tired of the way, but I have been tired in the way. And there have been times when that song really appealed to me, to sit down and rest a little while. And you know, there is a passage of Scripture in the Gospel of Matthew that says this: they shall come from the east and from the west, from the north and the south, and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. And so no doubt we're going to sit down and we're going to rest a little while when we get to heaven. But listen, this rich man, he didn't find any rest when he got where he was going. Instead of there being rest and comfort for him, there was only torment. He was tormented, and I don't know what all the torments of hell are, and I'm not going to speculate and try to enumerate what I think all the torments of hell might be. But I really believe the greatest torment of all will be shut away from the presence of God. Even in this life that you're living right now, you are enjoying the blessings of Almighty God. He causes the sun to shine upon the just and the unjust. He sends the rain, my friend, and all of the wonderful things that you enjoy, every one of them is a gift of God's bountiful grace. But when you die and leave this world, if you're not saved, my friend, you've enjoyed the last blessing from God that you can ever receive. Because there will be none of those things for those who die without God. And so this man was tormented. I think he was tormented by the memory that he had. We do know that he was able to remember his brothers. He had five brothers. He could remember the reason why he came to that terrible place. He knew that he had not repented of his sin. And no doubt he had many opportunities to repent. But perhaps he procrastinated, just put it off. Thought maybe he'd have some better, more convenient time to get right with God. And no doubt he didn't intend to die and go to hell. But he just kept letting the opportunities pass until the last one came. And he could remember those things. I really believe tonight that those who are in hell, they remember the gospel that was preached to them. They remember the people that loved them and tried to persuade them to get right with God. They remember the prayers of their loved ones that were prayed in their behalf. All of those memories of the times when God dealt with them is a torment to their conscience as they burn forever and forever. And so tonight, I want you to make preparations for what's after life. You see, it's really important. You don't want to die in your sins and spend eternity in the lake of fire. This man, everybody, let me back up a minute and say that. We hear a lot today about people's identity being stolen. But I tell you, you're going to be the same person after you die that you are now. Amen. You're going to be the same person. You're not going to lose your identity. After you draw your last breath and your spirit leaves your body and your soul goes to its eternal destiny, you're going to be the very same person that you were before you die. I make this illustration. It may be crude, but I think it makes a point. We could go down here to the Cumberland River in Nashville, and you could stand on one side of the river, and you would be the person that you are. You could cross over the river to the other side, and you would still be the same person. And that's exactly the way it is in crossing over the river of death. Whatever you are on this side is what you're going to be on the other side. If you're not saved on this side, when you get to the other side, you'll still not be saved. You see, the Bible says, as a tree falleth, so shall it lie. My friend, if you die lost, separated from God, that's exactly the way that you'll spend eternity. I want to just notice another passage of Scripture. It's found over in the book of the Revelations. And I want you to notice what it says. It says, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still." You are not going to make any kind of a change after you have drawn your final breath. There are people who teach that there is an intermediate place where people can go and where they can be prayed for, and perhaps if they haven't committed mortal sins, that they can be released from that place. But I'm going to tell you tonight, there are only two places where people go when they die. One of them is to heaven above, where the Lord Jesus is. And that's the place that He has prepared for those who make preparations to come there. The other place is hell beneath. And that's the place that was prepared for the devil and his angel. And God does not want you to go there. The Bible tells me that God is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but He is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Paul wrote to the young preacher Timothy, and he said, there is one God. And he said, there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so tonight, the only final destinations for the human family is heaven above or hell beneath. And the thing that will determine which place you go, my friend, takes place while you're still living. The Bible says that there is a great gulf. Now, this conversation between Abraham and the rich man, he wanted water to cool his tongue. Of course, he couldn't get it. There is no way for a person to be comforted in the afterlife if he goes to hell. The only place you'll be comforted is in heaven. Lazarus was comforted, and the rich man was tormented, you see. But Abraham said, now there's a great gulf fish, and those that would come to you cannot, and those that would come from where you are, they cannot. I want to tell you tonight that gulf is fixed while you're living. It's not fixed after you die. It's fixed while you're living. And if you don't get right with God, you'll never be able to cross that great divide. And so tonight, as we think about these things, as I said, the Bible says, as a tree falls, so shall it lie. You cut a tree down, and it doesn't matter if it falls toward the north or the south or the east or the west. It'll never get up and change its position. It's going to lay right where it falls. And that's the way with the human family. Just as you die, that's just the way you'll stay for all time and for all eternity. The Bible tells us that all die. We all die. We may not die the same way. Some of us may live a lot longer than others. Some people die prematurely, we call it. The Bible says that the days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength there be 40 years, or be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. They're soon cut off and we fly away. So if you live 80 years, or even if God grants additional strength and you keep on living to 90 or 100, my friend, the time's coming when you're going to be cut off and you're going somewhere. My friend, listen, all die. I started to say about the premature age. We just don't know when the time's going to come. God may call me before the sunrise. He may call you. We don't know. But whatever and whenever God calls, we could be killed in a lot of different ways. I tell you, this is a dangerous world that we're living in. I tell you, I wouldn't risk living in sin tonight for the world and everything that's in it. Listen, you could be driving down the street in Nashville and somebody pull up beside of you and shoot you with a gun. It does happen, don't it? I'm not prophesying that that's going to happen. Don't expect it will. But I'm saying it could happen. You could be involved in an automobile accident and your life could be snuffed out very quickly. You might contract some kind of a disease and you might die prematurely because of that disease, you see. We just don't know these things. The only thing we know is we're going to die. And we know that after we meet physical death, our souls are going to continue to live. We know that those who have been saved, they will go to heaven. And we know that those who haven't been saved will go to hell. Folks, that's plain. I don't like to preach about hell, but how in the world can we not tell people the truth? We have to tell them the truth. There's a heaven to gain, and there is a hell to shun. My friend, listen. Did you know that even in this world, the living and the dead cannot coexist? Did you know it? They just can't do it. Let's just use this as an example. When a man's wife dies, he don't take her home and put her in the bed every night and get her up the next morning and set her at the table with him and then take her in and set her in the recliner and turn the television on. Oh no, he buries her. You see, the same way if a husband dies, we bury him, we lay him to rest, you see, so to speak, the body. We put him in the grave and they are buried to wait the resurrection. But listen, my friend, when people die, do you know that those who die without God, hell is a burying place for the wicked? And I don't want you to misunderstand me, and I hope that you get the point that I'm trying to make. You see, the saved and the unsaved are not going to coexist together after this life is over. There's a great separation that's going to take place. Just like when a companion dies, there's a separation. They don't continue to coexist, you see. And when people die, that great separation takes place. And those that are lost, I tell you, they are lost forever. It's not just lost for a little while. It's lost forever and forever and forever. And I hope tonight that God will use this little message. I know I've stumbled and I've stuttered, but I believe this tonight. I believe I've told you the truth. And I believe that God's going to honor His Word. I believe He's going to honor His truth. I believe somebody is going to be helped by having heard the things that I've had to say tonight. And I know you'll be helped if you'll take heed, if you're unsaved, if you'll seek the Lord, if you'll call on God, and if you'll make preparation for what's waiting you when this life is over. I know that you'll benefit from it. You'll benefit for the rest of your earthly life, but you'll also benefit from all eternity because Jesus gives everlasting life. And it will never end, and it will continue while the ceaseless ages roll on and on. May God bless you tonight is my prayer. And I would invite you to seek the Lord. I noticed last night during the service, there was one praying here, one praying there, some back here, some back there. I tell you that you're just as close to God where you're sitting tonight as you would be if you was bowed at this altar. Listen, I encourage people to come to an altar to pray. It's a convenient place. But I tell you, there's no virtue in any of these benches. The only place you can find virtue is in the true mercy seat, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's the only one that can give you mercy and forgive your sins and save your soul. And so tonight, I'd invite you to come to this convenient place to pray. But if you don't come here, bow somewhere. Humble your heart before God. Come to Him just as you are. Confess your sins. Acknowledge that you're a sinner and that you need to be saved and that you want to be saved. Call on the Lord in faith, expecting to get saved. And I want to tell you this before I close. You know, I truly believe Jesus did everything that's necessary for you to get saved. I believe He did. I believe Jesus paid it all. I believe when Jesus died on the cross, that is sufficient to save every soul that will come unto Him. And God said, if you will believe in Him, He said, I will forgive you of your sins, and I will give you eternal life, and you will never perish if you'll only come to Jesus. While we stand together tonight and sing, will you come and seek the Lord? Get ready for the hour of death, because, my friend, you're going to have to die. And you need to be prepared for what's after life. God, do help us tonight.